The Velveteen Rabbit by Marjorie Williams. There was once a Velveteen Rabbit. He was fat, bunchy, as a rabbit should be. His coat was brown and white, and he had real thread whiskers, and his ears were lined with pink sateen. On Christmas morning, when he sat wedge on top of the boy's stocking, with a sprig of holly between his paws, the effect was charming. There were other things in the stocking, but the rabbit was quite the best of all. For at least 2 hours, the boy loved him, and the aunts and uncles came to dinner, and in the excitement of looking at all the new presents, the Velveteen Rabbit was forgotten. For a long time, he lived in the toy cupboard or on the nursery floor, and no one thought very much about him. He was naturally shy, and being only made of velveteen, some of the most expensive toys quite snubbed him. The poor little rabbit felt very insignificant and commonplace, and the only person who was kind to him was the skin horse. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any others. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by and by break their main springs and pass away, and he knew that they were only toys. For the nursery magic, it's very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you or stick out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse. "But when you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked. "Or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen at all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes have dropped out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." "I suppose you're real," said Rabbit. And then he wished he had not said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. "The boy's uncle made me real," he said. "That was a great many years ago, but once you are real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always." The rabbit sighed. He thought it would be a long time before this magic happened to him. He longed to become real, to know what it's like to feel like it. And yet the idea of growing shabby and losing his eyes and whiskers was rather sad. He wished that he would become real without these uncomfortable things happening to him. There was a person called Nana, who ruled the nursery. Sometimes she took no notice of the playthings laying about, and sometimes she hustled them into the cupboard. She called it tidying up, and all the playthings hated it, especially the tin ones. The rabbits didn't mind it so much, for whenever he was thrown, he came down softly. One evening, when the boy was going to bed, he couldn't find the china dog that always slept with him. Nana was in a hurry, and had too much trouble to hunt for it at bedtime. So she simply looked and saw the toy cupboard door open. "Here," she said, "take your bunny." And she dragged the rabbit out by one ear and put him into the boy's arms. That night, and for many nights after, the Velveteen Rabbit slept in the boy's bed. At first, he found it rather uncomfortable, for the boy hugged him very tight, and sometimes he rolled over him, and sometimes he pushed him so far under the pillow that the rabbit could scarcely breathe. But very soon, he grew to like it, for the boy used to talk to him and made nice tunnels for him under the bedcloth that he said were like the burrows the real rabbits lived in. And when the boy dropped off to sleep, the rabbit would snuggle down close under his little arm, under his chin, and dream with the boy's hands clasped around him all night long. And so time went on, and the little rabbit was very happy, so happy that he never noticed how beautiful velveteen fur was getting shabbier and shabbier, and his tails coming unsewed, and the pink rubbed off his nose where the boy had kissed him. Spring came, and wherever the boy went, the rabbit went too. He had rides in the wheelbarrow, picnics on the grass, lovely fairy hunts built for him behind the flower border, and so on. And once, when the boy was called away suddenly to go out to tea, The rabbit was left out on the lawn until long after dusk, and Nana had to come and look for him because the boy couldn't go to sleep unless he was there. He was wet through and quite earthy from diving into the burrows the boy had made him, and Nana grumbled as she rubbed him off with a corner of her apron. "You must have your old bunny," she said. "All that fuss for a toy." The boy sat up in the bed, stretched out his little hands. "Give me my bunny," he said. "He isn't a toy. He's real." When the little rabbit heard that, he was very happy, for he knew what the skin horse had said was true. The nursery magic had happened to him, and he was a toy no longer. He was real. That night, he was almost too happy to sleep. So much love stirred in his little sawdust heart that it almost burst. And into his boot button eyes that had long ago lost their polish, there came a look of wisdom and beauty, so that even Nana noticed it in the next morning when she picked him up and said, "I declare if that old bunny hasn't got quite a knowing expression." The end.